Carpenter and Rothman.
Welcome back in. Carpenter and Rothman. Our good friend at 11 Warriors, Colin Haas-Hill, who does it all, is on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Colin, good to have you back. How you been?
I've been all good. I appreciate you all having me.
Yeah, all right. So let's start with basketball because it's so fresh last night. And, you know, I said to Bobby earlier that it's nice to see Chris Holtmann be able to joke a little bit after a win, even a win that didn't look that pretty. He's not apologizing for anything. Like, this season has been a roller coaster, right? He's dealt with injuries, suspensions, then having a guy leave the team, and he's keeping this thing afloat. And I know there was a time that the honeymoon technically ended for him, right? Like, when this thing went into a dip for him with losing, what did they lose, 6 of 7, and the honeymoon, the bloom was off the rose. Has he rescued this a little bit in your mind? Like, how do you feel about the program and the job that he's done to this point?
Yeah, it's been about as turbulent as a season as you could possibly have. I mean, in December, it just feels so long ago that they were once the number two team in the country. And you could legitimately make a case like this team, they could have Final Four aspirations if things go their way. Like, you could legitimately make a case for that. And then it just went as January dragged on, it was just sort of remarkable because you think about what happened last year, and the thing was that this team was supposed to be different than last year's team, and that's that they hung posters on the inside the locker room and inside the weight room with some numbers of where they stood in the Big Ten last year and their total losses and their Big Ten losses, and sort of the goal was just to be better in those areas. And it just felt like for a month there, it's like, man, what in the world is happening? Is they had those injuries, they had the suspensions and the TJ Carton situation, like you said. I don't know. I can't say that this team is like turned a corner and you're going to see what you saw in the first month of the season. But at least like for the first 25 minutes of last night's game, like that was a legitimately good team that sort of reminded me of some of the play that it had earlier in the season. And then the second half dragged on, you still sort of saw some of the bad stuff that happened in January, and you know, like this really isn't a complete team right now. That they have some serious flaws still, but yeah, I mean, winning 4 of 5 right now after what happened in January, I do think there's at least reason for the smiles after the game.
And you know, so you talk about the smiles, but then you know, that second half, it begins to creep back together, and it's tenuous a little bit at the end. I mean, they want to make sure that everybody in attendance, everybody watching, got a full 40 minutes worth of basketball. And I watched that, and I try to figure out the inconsistencies with this team. And, you know, early on in the year, they're putting together 40-minute games against some pretty good opponents. And then it seems like at times they have these lapses where they just seem to struggle on the offensive end, but even on the defensive end some as well.
Yes, you're not kidding. It was weird because the mood after the game was pretty upbeat, where it's like, all right, however you get the win, you get the win. And while that's true, you also have to do the balance in your head where, you know, they were up by just 3 points really late in that game. And if something happened and Rutgers has been hitting some crazy shots, if they had hit one or two more of those crazy shots, like we're talking about a horrific loss, the worst loss of the season, certainly. And they avoided that. So I guess like they have all the right to be upbeat, yet you're right. There are the serious flaws on both ends. I think defending the three has been a thing that has been a problem the entire season. And then it was a problem last night. I know Rutgers hit better than 40% from three, and Ohio State's the worst defending three-point team defending the three-point line in the entire Big Ten. And then offensively, I think they made 3 shots in the final 13 minutes, and that was 3 shots since they led by 20 points. Like that, needless to say, that cannot happen one way or another.
Colin Haas-Hill with us from 11 Warriors. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. All right, we'll switch to football briefly. And I know we're very early here, right? We're not even in spring ball yet and spring practice. And so I'll ask it this way. They're coming off a unbelievable season, right? He runs the table all the way up until the playoff. And you got the key piece coming back in the quarterback. Certainly, we all think that they're going to be good again on the line. But If I ask you, are they less likely, as likely, or more than likely to run the table again regular season, what would you answer?
Oh, I would probably say as likely, and especially if I'm comparing myself to where I was last year at this point. Because if I were to think back then, like you have the thoughts of what Ryan did and Ryan Day did in his three-game sort of tenure during Urban Meyer's suspension. You had the idea of what Justin Fields could be, but you also had all these questions about what it would look like once they were all on the field. And I think now that you have the second year of Ryan Day, the second year of Justin Fields, you have that offensive line that is so solid. I think you have enough returners outside of them on the offense that the offense, I think, really, even without J.K. Dobbins, you can make a case that the offense can even take a step forward. I think the real question right now that I have is the defense, and that's really what I think I'm going to be thinking about for really the next 6-7 months until the season starts, because you look at the defensive line, and sure, I think they have a lot of talent there, and you have Larry Johnson there. There's reason for optimism there, but you're also replacing Chase Young, and Chase Young, it's like – Everything that Ohio State did on defense, they were just able to do certain things that you can't do if you don't have a guy like Chase Young. Plus, in the defensive backfield, guys like Damon Arnett and Jeff Okuda and Jordan Fuller, you don't have. And obviously, without Amir Reap on the team anymore, they don't have a ton of depth back there. So I think really most of my questions throughout the next 6-7 months are going to be on that defense, and specifically the defensive backfield.
And so your question is going to be there. Where do you see the strong point of this team, or the team that, or the part of this team that's going to maybe need to carry some of the other areas? Because, like you said, the defensive backfield might take a hit. There is no Chase Young anymore on the defensive line. What group will have to step up to carry the water?
Yeah, on the defense, it's hard. I think on offense, I just look at the offensive line and think, like, wow, like this could be one of – I think you can make case that this could be the best offensive line in the country. I think you could have made that case last year, and I think you're gonna be able to say the same this year with Josh Myers, Wyatt Davis, and Thayer Munford back, and potentially someone like Nick Petitfrere, who was the number one offensive tackle in his recruiting class, and then Harry Miller, who is a five-star. And if you just look across that line, like that is a star-studded line, which is something you can't often say about offensive lines. But if you look on the defense, it's hard because I think they're just replacing key guys across the board. But specifically, I think about like what about the linebackers? Because we all know what happened with them in the 2018 season, and then they brought everybody back for 2019, and they took a step forward. And now it just seems like this is going to be the most experienced group on the defensive side of the ball. And I know people have their questions about Tough Borland. People wonder about maybe what Baron Browning can do in a bigger role. I think Pete Warner had a really solid year last year. I think with all those guys back and a ton of guys that they're super deep at linebacker, a ton of guys sort of pushing them, I just think there's a lot to like about that unit and I think that they have a higher ceiling than some might think.
It's Colin Haas-Hill of 11 Words. Before we cut you loose, I like to do heavy research when we have guests on. And my research has told me that for anyone that enjoys food, there's really nothing more embarrassing than maybe being forced to stop eating because you've run out of room. To get to the competitive level, you need to break through and crash through that ceiling. And I've heard that you have that type of ranking amateur ability. Am I correct?
You know, I've never been in a actual food eating contest, but I'll say every time that I go out with people and eat, it's just like I'm just like a naturally fast eater, and I don't even really think of it. And I mean, shoot, earlier today for lunch, we went out with a couple folks from 11 Warriors, mm-hmm. and they looked down and they looked up, and I guess that I finished before they had really finished their first part of their entree. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I don't really want to compete with Joey Chestnut, but I've been told this.
Let me ask you this, Colin.
Go head to head with the dog father. I mean, why not?
You come from a big family. I mean, where do you think the speed of your eating is originated from?
Gosh, I think back when I was back when I was in high school, I was a little bit smaller of an offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to play as a senior, and I think that like those 6-7 months, I just started devouring food, and now I don't know, I might have just started a really bad habit when I was 18 years old.
See, that's good. That's kind of how I was. I had three younger brothers, and people always get upset when I go to dinner. I consume my food really quickly, and they look like, are you going to take a breath? But I'm like, that opens you up then to have conversation then afterwards without the impediment of having to worry about eating and chewing your food.
You know, the tough part about it, too, then everyone just wants to say, like, are you full? Like, do you want something else? It's like, no, I just enjoy my food.
All right, so here, then my research told me that I could back you and sponsor you and get you into some events, and maybe you'd be have great long odds, and we could rake in some money. But you're telling me you're more like the human vacuum rather than a guy who has a bottomless pit. Is that right?
Here, the way I would put it is, I don't know my ceiling. I've never been in one of these competitions.
Perfect. Well, you have no glass ceiling. We'll crash through it. And I think, I'm not saying give up what you do, but this might be a side gig that we could really cash in on. And I want to get in on the ground floor of this thing. So
I like the way you're talking. I'll take some early investment.
You're the man. What's your food of choice if you were in an eating contest?
Gosh, I mean, I haven't thought this far ahead, but now you're putting me on the spot. I mean, shoot, like pizza? Like,
all right.
Give me that.
Can't go wrong with that. Colin, great job. Good stuff. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Glad to be on with y'all.